Welcome to the Pet Cancer Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Susan Ettinger, from the Animal Specialty Center in Westchester, New York, who is a board-certified oncologist devoted to diagnosing and treating dogs and cats with cancer. Dr. Sue's motto for her patients is live longer, live well, and we're here to give you hope because cancer is a treatable disease. If you would like to have your question answered on the air, please email radiopetlady@gmail.com. We want the advice and support you get from Dr. Sue to help others facing the same challenges. The Pet Cancer Vet is a production of 8 Paws LLC and Dr. Susan Ettinger, which are solely responsible for its content, and is brought to you by Best Pet RX, a unique compounding pharmacy for pets that works directly with veterinarians to create custom versions of medications. Does your pet hate the taste of a pill? Or is it too large to get down? Or do you have cats who are notoriously anti-pill? Best Pet RX can turn any medication for dogs and cats into specially flavored oral paste, chewable tablet, or liquid. Best Pet RX guarantees to keep trying formulations at no extra charge until they create a flavor your pet will actually like. Ask your own vet to contact Best Pet RX Compounding Pharmacy so giving medicine can be successful and pleasant, and your pet will get well and stay well. Support for this show also comes from Nordic Naturals, omega-3 fish oil products to provide your dog or cat with the same premium quality omega-3 nutrition as their fish oils for people. Research has shown that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals responsibly sources wild fish from healthy stocks with third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness, which surpass even strict international standards for omega-3 fish oil quality. RX Vitamins for Pets is an innovative nutraceutical company that has provided safe, well-researched, and effective nutritional formulas to veterinarians for over 15 years. OncoSupport is the supplement designed to provide the nutrient diversity needed by severely immune-compromised dogs. Dr. Sue recommends OncoSupport to the canine cancer patients she's treating because this supplement addresses their increased metabolic needs. Ask your own vet about OncoSupport and whether it can help improve the quality of your pet's life. You can also call RX Vitamins for Pets at the number on radiopetlady.com. Good evening, Dr. Sue.
Good evening, Tracy. How are you?
I'm dandy. I have somebody who luckily reached out to you on your Facebook page, and her timing was perfect to get your wonderful advice and input on, she's on the cusp of figuring out what to do about oncology with her dog, Sugar. She's in San Francisco. Her name is Gabriella, and I love the name Sugar. Gabriella, welcome to the Pet Cancer Vet. We're so glad you came and spent time with us here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I like Sugar's name, too.
Sugar's name is great. Now, what kind of dog is Sugar?
Sugar's a Maltese, and she's 13 years old, 7.5 pounds.
Wow, she's a teeny little girl. So you, just to sort of do the background and to remind Dr. Sue and so everyone else can know, Sugar had surgery at UC Davis, which is an extremely famous veterinary college. I would say the top three most famous are probably Cornell, University of Pennsylvania, and UC Davis. So it's a really great place where you kind of only got to a certain point with her, and thank God there's Dr. Sue is all I can say. She had renal cell carcinoma, kidney cancer that had invaded her right kidney. Okay, so she had that surgery. Now, then tell us how you suddenly were left kind of like hanging when the next step was, well, shouldn't we be doing chemotherapy, right?
Right. Well, as I had the, you know, requisite 2 weeks while Sugar was recovering, I was looking into everything I could about Sugar's cancer and what we could do about it. And one of the things that I read very carefully was Dr. Ettinger's book, The Dog Cancer Survival Guide.
Yay!
yes. And then I had the follow-up appointment with oncology. And, you know, I'd seen on UC Davis's oncology website that they really only had the very traditional things available, but I was hoping that maybe they had other options that were just not up on the site yet.
Right.
But when I got there, that didn't really seem to be the case. The vet first, you know, was talking to me about some very traditional cytotoxic chemotherapy drugs. And then at the end, she got to Palladia. And I could tell that she felt that, and she had worked with her entire team there, and they were all conferring about it, that they just hadn't been using it long enough to feel very confident in their protocol with it. And then in addition, because Sugar has renal cell carcinoma and kidney cancer, which is so rare in dogs, they, you know, had very little experience with that type of cancer as well.
Okay, so we're gonna let Dr. Sue jump in at this point and say, you know, like, what does this feedback sound like to you, Sue? Like, right on the money or kind of missing the mark?
Well, I mean, yeah. It is a very, very rare cancer. I mean, I think it's estimated 1 to 2% of all cancers in dogs is kidney cancer.
Wow.
And then renal cell carcinoma makes up, depending on what study you look at, about half of the kidney cancer cases. What's more common in dogs is that you have cancers elsewhere in the body that end up spreading to the kidneys rather than primary kidney cancer. But of the two types of kidney cancer that we see, renal cell carcinoma, Sugar's cancer, and then lymphoma is the other common cancer that we see in the kidney as well.
Oh, so lymphoma can be just in the kidney.
It's usually actually in both kidneys.
Wow.
And interestingly, renal cell carcinoma is often in both kidneys as well. It's sometimes in one, and I'll tell you, to be honest, I don't remember what the statistics are, but it is one of the cancers that you can find in both kidneys at the same time.
But in your case, you said that it had completely invaded Sugar's right kidney, Gabriella, but did she have it in both kidneys?
Not that they saw. So Sugar had actually been peeing blood for pretty much exactly a year. We had taken her to our local vets over and over, and they, of course, had done stuff with thinking it was a urinary tract infection, thinking it was stones, thinking it was bladder cancer, and doing an ultrasound on the bladder. But shockingly, I asked them, and I thought they had taken a peek at the kidneys, at least on the ultrasound, but I guess they hadn't. And finally, I just ended up switching vets because I was just, you know, she's still peeing blood after a year. And then he said, you might want to take this to Davis. And I did, and immediately they ultrasounded her abdominal cavity, and they're like, there's something huge in there. And then
wow.
When they went to do the x-ray, they said that huge thing is her kidney.
Oh, my God. Sue, you know, we haven't said the name of your regular vet, and we're not trying to put them out of business, but I really, as much as I love veterinarians, and actually I love human doctors less, to be honest with you, the mistakes that can be made are distressing because Sugar needed to see a specialist a lot sooner. Would you agree with that, Sue?
Right. And, you know, blood in the urine is not an uncommon, you know, symptom in dogs, and a urinary tract infection is the most common thing. And, you know, doing, you know, a urine test, a urine culture, you know, doing maybe x-rays or ultrasound to look for bladder stones, those are all reasonable things.
Okay.
But, you know, it's sort of like we talk about with nose cancers in dogs. Is
yes.
That they often have a secondary infection. So you put them on antibiotics and they get better for a bit. But if they're not staying better after you treat them with antibiotics, there's probably something else. And it doesn't mean that it's cancer, but,
right.
You know, secondary infections can confuse vets and owners because they get better with antibiotics for a while, but you're not taking care of the underlying issue. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight being 2020, I have, you know, the advantage of looking back and saying probably it would have been beneficial for Sugar to, after, you know, some courses of antibiotics and some basic imaging tests, to see a specialist sooner.
And the only thing I can say to you, Gabriella, is not in any way to say, gosh, Gabriella, why'd you wait so long? It's really to say, go, Gabriella. It's good that you took the emotionally difficult step of saying, I need a different vet, because that's really hard. You know, you've been with a vet.
It was hard.
You know, it's really hard. And I just want to acknowledge that to people, that leaving your vet, Going to another vet means you've got to ask for all of your records. That's really uncomfortable. You maybe really liked your vet and respected your vet, but you have this horrible sinking feeling that they're not doing a good job. And the specialist you would need to see wouldn't necessarily be, as Dr. Sue says, an oncologist. It's why on my show, The Expert Vet, Dr. Donna Spector often gets cases of treatments that are not working. And it's because there's an underlying cause that is simply not being found by your everyday vet. And I just wish more vets would be willing to send their patients where something isn't getting resolved to an internist. Dr. Sue's husband happens to be an internist who practices at the same animal specialty center where she is in Yonkers in Westchester, New York. That frustrates me. I mean, what would that mean? That we would have found this out maybe 6 months sooner, Sue? Or 7 months sooner, and then she would have had the surgery sooner? Is that what would have happened, you think?
I mean, probably, you know, but I tend to focus on let's focus on the future. Let's focus on where we are, because this is where we are with sugar.
And, right.
But we do want other people to learn from that. But,
yes.
You know, I also don't want every pet owner, you don't want to, there's a balance between paranoia and proactive.
Yes.
And that's a very
exactly.
hard balance
yes.
to find. You know, if your pet is bleeding, you know, has bloody urine, it probably has a urinary tract infection. If it's
right.
a two-year-old dog, cancer is much less likely
right.
than if it's an older pet. So, you know, those are the things that the vet thinks about when we, you know, look at the pet, how old is it and all that. But, you know, let's focus on the future for sugar.
Okay, so if you've tuned in late, you are listening to the Pet Cancer Vet with Dr. Susan Ettinger, the pet cancer vet, actually. And Gabriella in San Francisco and her darling little Maltese Sugar, who's only 7.5 pounds and had surgery to remove one of her diseased kidneys or cancerous kidneys. You're now at the point, Gabriella, where UC Davis, and maybe this is normal and I don't know, I'm just cynical, says, you know, we just don't see this very often. We just don't really know what to do next. So, gosh, and it's kind of like, gee, Gabriella, you decide. Is that sort of the position you felt like you were put in?
I felt like, yes, but here's a quote I have. Well, sugar's treatment will be a learning experience for both of us.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You know, that's like...
It's horrifying. That's not what you want to hear when your dog's really sick.
Yeah, it's like you don't want to go to the doctor yourself or with your pet and have them go, gosh, this is really interesting. Meaning
right.
they don't know what this is. Yeah, learning
right.
experience, you don't really want them to be learning on your dog's back.
You know, it's interesting. I always say the opposite to my clients when I come out. I'm like, today was a boring day. And I said, you want me to be bored. You want your oncologist. Because that means everything's going well.
Right.
It's routine, you know. Not that any case is ever routine. But, you know, that is the opposite of what I typically say. You know, everything's boring and everything's good today. But
exactly.
Exactly.
And that was really the feeling that I was getting is that I was really wanting some boredom, and that's not
yes.
what I was seeing.
Yeah, you want them to go, oh yeah, been there, done that, seen that, here's what we're going to do next.
But there are cancers that are really uncommon, and I see them. So, you know, we all see these, you know, cancers that you see one or two a year of them, and sometimes I'll go a year or two without seeing a certain tumor type. It's probably been at least 2 years since I've seen a primary renal cell carcinoma. And so oncologists are trained to look up papers, look up in books, and look at, you know, other collections of dogs that are similar to sugar to be able to guide us in our treatment recommendations.
Right.
And there are some cancers, lymphoma, the most common one we treat in dogs. And there's probably 60 plus pages in the, you know, standard oncology textbook that oncologists use. A ton of information, a ton of articles. And there's probably a page for cat and dog kidney cancer.
Wow.
So that's how little we know about it. So I don't think in some ways we can really fault the oncologist
okay.
because it's an uncommon cancer. And so we can't say expect this. You know, one of the stats that we learn, you know, during our residency is that you want to take out the affected kidney, like sugar did. And then on average, the median survival time for these dogs is a little over a year, about 16 months, a year and 4 months. And that's
exactly.
all, that's one of the only good data that's out there. We know that mm-hmm. lymphoma should get chemotherapy because it's a cancer of the immune system and it's not going to, even if it's only in the kidneys at diagnosis, it's not going to stay there.
Right.
we know that if you look at dogs with renal cell carcinoma, when they die, there's a very high spread rate, I think 70 to 75% to other organs. So we know that it spreads, and that is a high enough spread rate that oncologists want to use chemo. The problem is there isn't any good studies that are going to tell you what the best chemo protocol is and what, you know, is most efficacious. So if I was
In fact, the doctor showed me a study. Well, she was telling me the information, and I asked for the study. And the study shows that with canine renal cancer, that there is no improvement in survival time when you use chemotherapy.
Right, but the question is how many dogs were in that study? And so,
right, and the study was done before these newer cancer therapies existed, even some that are still considered chemotherapy, like Palladia.
Right. And so, you know, traditionally I have used intravenous, as you were saying, cytotoxic to kill the cancer cell chemotherapy for renal cell carcinoma because of the high, very high spread rate. If you look at these dogs, you know, when they die of their cancer. I use a lot of Palladia in my practice. You know, it's an oral drug that I've talked about with Tracy that was developed for mast cell tumors, but we use it in combination with other low dose or metronomic chemotherapy. In some studies, it's been shown to have good efficacy for some other carcinomas. I find it very well tolerated. It's a chronic chemotherapy protocol that I usually tell owners if it's working, so no evidence of spread to other organs in a couple of months on imaging. You know, anticipate that they're going to be on it for 6 months. In my experience, it's very well tolerated. I have a ton of experience, very comfortable using it in mast cell tumors and bone cancers and anal sac tumors and nasal tumors and some of the other hormone tumors. You know, I've heard one of my oncologist colleagues say when there's no standard of care, Palladia has become the standard of care.
Interesting.
But we still don't know, you know, we're still working out what tumors. We have some good studies that show that it works for bone cancer, anal cancers, and thyroid cancers. But this is such an uncommon cancer that we don't know. So if you were my patient, I would sit down with you and talk to you about IV chemo and some protocol options and doing Palladia. I do think chemo is a good recommendation for this, but no one's going to be able to tell you which is going to be the better one for sugar, and I know that's frustrating.
We're going to take a quick break. Gabriella, hang on one sec with your thought. We're going to take a quick break for a sponsor message. When we come back, let's talk about what Gabriella has been given and told to do and see how that sits with you, Dr. Sue. We'll be back in just 1 minute. The Radio Pet Lady Network is brought to you with the generous support of Vectra, the safe and effective parasite treatment you put on your pet's skin monthly to repel and kill parasites with the newest technology. Vectra 3D repels and kills ticks on your dog, while Vectra is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea on cats and dogs. Vectra products are only available from veterinarians, or you can buy them at any Banfield clinic inside PetSmart stores where the same products are called First Shield. This show is also brought to you by Waruva, which is a privately owned company that makes pet food in a human food facility, so it is good enough for you to eat. We salute Waruva because they agree that cats should eat only meat and for this health reason will not make dry food for kitties. All the flavors of Waruva Cats in the Kitchen and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brand, make mealtimes a taste delight for finicky little dogs and choosy cats. We are also supported by the pheromone products Feel Away for cats and Adaptyl for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Feel Away and Adaptyl plug-in diffusers are stress relievers that can help with anxiety or behavior issues and also help adopted pets make the adjustment to their new homes. Feel Away spray can reduce problems in a multi-cat household, and veterinarians carry Adaptyl collars, which can help dogs with anxiety from separation, thunderstorms, or travel. We are back. You're listening to the Pet Cancer Vet with Dr. Sue Ettinger, and we're talking to Gabriella in San Francisco about her little Maltese Sugar, who is on the brink of starting chemotherapy. Gabriella, did you tell me that something has been prescribed and you're like at the moment of thinking, well, do I or don't I?
Yes. Exactly. And because all the information I was given and all the information I had read, what was prescribed was Palladia, which I am very hopeful about. But my vet also indicated that she and her team didn't have a lot of experience with Palladia, and had seen a lot of bad side effects. And I know, that, and that's one of the main reason I knew to contact Dr. Sue was because
she just contradicted that.
A lot of experience with this drug
and finds it well tolerated. So Sue, why would the folks at UC Davis that are a teaching hospital have, as they said, very little experience using Palladia, and there are bad side effects? But that's not your experience as an oncologist.
No, and I mean, I actually have a good friend who's one of the staff oncologists at UC Davis, so I'm not sure. I mean, Palladia, it has a bad rap. You know, when it first came mast cell tumors, we were using it at higher dosages, instead of three times a week, every other day. Again, using it at higher dosages in dogs that were often having some side effects from their cancer, and then you gave them a drug that could cause some side effects as well. I can't speak for their experiences at all, obviously, but I can tell you that I have a different experience with Palladia. I think it was approved in 2009, maybe 2008, for mast cell tumors. And when I went to the first meeting, Dr. London, who was at Davis originally, but she's at Ohio State now, she did a lot of the work. She was the one who presented a lot of information about dogs with other tumor types that she saw when it was still in preclinical trials that were having some early efficacy. And a lot of us were like, I wonder if it's going to work for bone cancer and, you know, some other tumor types.
Right.
And we, you know, over the years started to adjust the dose for other tumor types and things like that. And so she was actually one of the, you know, my quote unquote mentors for using this drug in other cancers. And I relied a lot on her experience. But in the 4 or 5 years since it's been approved and I've been using it in hundreds and hundreds of patients, I've probably had 5 or 6 or 7 patients at most that they just didn't tolerate Palladia with all of my tweaking and adjusting. And we had to stop it and pick something else. But I tell my clients this, I have some patients when it's time to take them off, I practically have to beg the mom and dad to stop because they almost forget that it's chemo and the dog has been doing so well. And their quality of life is so great that they don't see any reason to stop. And I'm like, well, the cancer is in remission. Let's give the pet a break. So, you know, if I'm begging the owner to stop chemo, it's usually a good sign. But again, if, you know, someone had a friend who had a really bad reaction to it, you know, that can sometimes, you know, negate everything I've said about all my experiences. But I'm not quite sure why they have a difference of opinion. I do respect them as an institution, but I can tell you I have a difference of opinion. I think it is very well tolerated.
Now, because there's only 300 oncologists in the United States, and Gabriella lives in San Francisco, Dr. Patrick Mahaney works closely with the animal veterinaries. What's it called in Los Angeles? The Veterinary Medical Center?
No, I think it's the Veterinary Cancer Group.
The Veterinary Cancer Group. For some reason, that name doesn't stick with me. And Mary Davis, I don't know why, is a doctor who works there and probably has a good amount of experience with this. But Gabriella is up in San Francisco. So what does a person do who is this level of intelligent of an owner, this hungry for information, this good at getting it, this good at figuring it out? And she's sitting there with her Palladia. What does this person do?
Well, she actually is lucky because she's in an area where you're in San Francisco. And, you know, I practiced in San Jose for a couple of years.
Oh, I forgot that.
And so there, you know, at least when I was there, there should be a group in downtown San Francisco. There's an oncologist that I know at Bay Area Vet Specialists in San Leandro. And there's some specialists in the Campbell and San Jose area. So you probably want to go to acvim.org, the American College of Veterinary Internal Medicine, and you can click on a link to find an oncologist near you, put in your zip code, and maybe see another oncologist in that area who can guide you on a more day-to-day basis, who hopefully has more experience with Palladia and might actually be easier for you than going to Davis.
Yes. And because you're lucky enough to live in a geographic area with oncologists, I mean, here's like handfuls that Dr. Sue even knows personally. You've got the Palladia. It sounds like the right thing to do next. But when Dr. Sue says tweaking, that's a kind of important thing because she's a little tiny girl, 7.5 pounds Sugar is. So whatever the dose is that somebody picks, if she were to exhibit any miserable signs or signs of misery, it wouldn't mean she couldn't have it. It might mean she needs less or less frequently. Sue, what are some of those adverse reactions? Do they fall into the gastrointestinal area?
Yeah, you know, Palladia tends not to affect the white blood cells the way traditional high-dose IV chemo does. So usually the main side effects with Palladia are vomiting, loss of appetite, weight loss. And so we monitor them pretty close in the beginning to make sure they're eating and they're not losing weight and things like that. My patients, I do have them on a daily anti-ulcer medication like generic Prilosec or Pepcid. But again, the main side effects are vomiting, diarrhea, loss of appetite. And, you know, it can cause stomach irritation, it can cause ulcers. But again, usually if you're monitoring the patients pretty closely, I haven't had one had a severe ulcer at all.
And you're using something proactively or preventatively.
Exactly.
And you have other medications as would any oncologist to counteract those side effects. Gabriella, would you be comfortable with us sending you a couple of names? Well, you can look in the ACVIM, but the doctors that Dr. Sue talked about, you've got your medication, maybe you need somebody nearby, and what's the harm in calling up on the phone and saying, I already have a dog with cancer, she's got, you know, renal cell carcinoma, and are your oncologists comfortable and knowledgeable about Palladia? I mean, wouldn't they just answer that on the phone, Sue?
They're probably, yeah. I mean, if that call came through, Melissa, my fabulous coordinator, would come back and ask me. And, you know, again, sometimes I get questions, do you do inhalational chemotherapy? So a type of chemo that the pet breathes in. I don't do that. So if that's what someone's looking for, I'm happy to tell them over the phone. You're not going to get much information over the phone before an appointment because we're always afraid that we might not know enough about the
pet. Of course.
But, you know, you don't want to give the wrong information. But if someone called and said, do you give a lot of Palladia? I'd be like, sure, come on in. I'll tell you more about it.
No, so, I didn't mean that she would get any info over the phone to clarify that. But I mean, if you had called UC Davis and they had not been your primary vet, Gabriella, and said, so I've got Palladia and I'd like to use it, and would you be my vet? They'd go, Palladia, gee, I don't know. We don't do that much around here, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure they'd say fine.
Fine, we'll both learn together.
And they're like, well.
they'd say fine. Come on in and let's learn together. Ladies, we've run out of time, but we feel as if you are on the right course with Sugar, and now you just need to find a supportive, knowledgeable, bold local oncologist who will take you down this path in a confident way and help protect against any side effects and get whatever the maximum benefit Sugar can get from that Palladia, okay?
Yeah.
All right. We've run out of time, unfortunately, but I think we did a pretty good job of understanding her situation and helping other people understand they could be in the same shoes as Gabriella and Sugar, and it's not a hopeless pair of shoes to be in. Gabriella, we'd love a picture of Sugar if you could send it so that when we podcast the show, people can see her cute little face, okay?
Oh, definitely.
All right, you have a great night. Thank you for bringing your situation to us, and I'm so glad that Dr. Sue could shed some light on it. You have a great night.
You too.
Take care. Dr. Sue, as always, thank you so much, and have a wonderful night.
Hey, it's me, Ellen, and if you know anything about me, you know I love my pets. And if you've been reading my diary, you know I had a crush on Donny Osmond. Anyway, I love my pets so much that I'll only give them Halo. It's premium quality, nutritious, natural dog food. Really, read the label and you'll see. Halo is my pet food company, and we care about what's in the bag and what's not.
Halo, the number one selling natural pet food brand, using only real meat, never any meals. Halo is available at Petco, Whole Foods Market, and your local pet specialty or natural food store. Visit HaloPets.com.